Hey everybody, this is Andrew.
This is Seth.
Welcome to the podcast On the Edge of Forever, debut episode. So what we're going to do on this podcast is we're going to watch episodes of Star Trek, the original series, and then discuss them between each other. Because what better way to spend our time than watch something we already like and then talk about it. So today we're going to start with the pilot, which is aptly named The Cage, or the Nicolas Cage, as we like to think of it.
It was a journey. I'll give it that.
Well, it's not even the length of like a regular episode. It's not 45 minutes. It was like an hour, 3 minutes.
It literally felt like I was watching fucking Tron. Like, I started it, and I knew it was only an hour long, but it felt like 7 hours of my life had passed.
And all 7 hours, you had a rock hard erection, because Tron is fucking great.
No, because Tron's terrible. I was watching it, taking notes for this fucking show, and at some point, I think probably 10 minutes in, but actually like 3 hours in my time span of relativity, I was like, okay, well, I'm going to just look at porno to distract myself from this. And I'm pretty sure I watched like a 45-minute porno and then came back and there was still half an episode left. I checked it and was like, there's no fucking way that this is happening right now. There's some sort of time dilation.
I mean, in the Star Trek universe, you run into time travel and time problems roughly once a year. Now, okay, so in The Cage, the pilot, there's zero people that we recognize, with the exception of Mr. Spock. He's still a member of the crew. And Mijel Barrett is still in it, but she plays who they call number one. She's the commanding officer, or the second in command. But she won't come back as number one. She'll be Nurse Chapel in the next episode.
Yeah, it was surprisingly white cast.
Oh, super white. I mean, coming from what we know of as Star Trek, it's whitewash.
Well, yeah, because Star Trek's like a diverse, like, oh yeah, we don't have racism and all that jazz. And like, it's everyone living together, no matter what your origin is. And this one's just white everywhere, except for the one, like, Vietnamese guy who helps run the transporter. With that, like, real, like, I don't know, he's got to be some just stone-faced Italian who was a boxer for 20 years but wasn't very good at it. And then this tiny little Vietnamese guy who helps him run it, and they don't speak. Either one of them doesn't say a single word through the whole fucking episode. But you can tell by the looks that hard Italian style gives that poor little Vietnamese guy, there's something going on.
I didn't notice that at all. I mean, I noticed.
Well, watch it again. It's there.
I'm not watching the pilot again. Well, it's been a while since I watched it. I watched it. I'm done. I'm moving on.
Just read the synopsis on IMDb and imagine what I said is true.
Okay, so my first impression was that, like, as soon as we pulled in on the crew, I was like, nice turtleneck baggy sweater for uniforms. The uniforms are terrible.
Well, they're never good.
I mean, I get that it's like, they're testing it out, but it's like, nice fat collar, and then the sweater should just hang loosely on you, like your grandma got it for you, and she doesn't know your size. Not your grandma, one of your aunts that doesn't know you very well.
Like a great aunt.
Yeah, like a great aunt.
I like that they're still all in, like, designer leather Italian shoes, though.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, I mean, like, they couldn't get fitted sweaters because they spent all the budget on those Italian shoes.
Yeah, like, I need these shoes because, fuck, I look good in space with Italian leather. I mean, the Enterprise looked the exact same.
Yeah, Enterprise looked the same. It's weird. Here's something weird. On Netflix, all the episodes have the updated graphics, where they took the original effects and they just updated them with modern technology, so it just looks better. It's what, you know, George Lucas should have done instead of going batshit. But...
Oh, so what you're telling me is that Khan shoots first in this one, or what?
I mean, I don't know. We'll have to go to the, they haven't updated the movies.
Oh.
I just mean it's what he should have done, meaning all they did was replace the old effect with the same effect, but better looking. You know, use modern technology to make a better looking effect. But the cage doesn't have that. The cage still has, like, the original effects for some reason. I don't know why. I watched it on Netflix. I have it, you know, on Blu-ray, but watched it on Netflix for convenience, and that just it just doesn't have it. It's weird.
I mean, it didn't bother me. It's more Star Trek.
Oh, yeah.
They
yeah.
all look the same.
I know. But something I really liked, the next thing I noticed was the relationship between Pike and his medical officer. You know, they're talking, saying, you know, man will tell his bartender things he won't tell his doctor. And I kind of thought that was the proto Kirk and Bones relationship. Like, they were exploring this, like, friendship between Captain and Doctor that would later be kind of what we saw with Kirk and Bones, like, in the future.
We'll see. I like that they decided to switch to DeForest Kelly instead of the child molester from Lost in Space.
Yeah. Yeah, which, I like...
Which was nice.
DeForest Kelly better also.
Yeah.
Is that guy a child molester?
I don't know. I just like to assume he is. He's dead, so I'm sure his estate will sue us for this, but whatever.
Yeah, I doubt they're going to hear it.
Well, Family Guy made a joke, so it's okay. I'm Seth MacFarlane. I'll sue us now. That was kind of interesting. I don't know that they really needed it at all, though. Because it made it feel not so much like a sci-fi, like futuristic space sci-fi, but more of a World War II Navy movie. John Wayne was going to pop up for some reason and just be like, oh yeah, I have cancer, by the way. He's like, oh, you should have told me that. I'm a doctor. The fact that CBS was just on board with the sexism that...
Oh,
that comes across in the first, was it 5 minutes? Like, oh, I got to get used to having a woman on bridge, except for my executive officer,
yeah,
who obviously has been with me more than one fucking day and has been promoted up through the ranks of Starfleet to become an executive officer on my fucking ship, which I had some say in her promotion or not.
Yeah, again, that's one of those things. We're used to Star Trek being what it is now. And so the sexism in it was weird. Like, oh, you're not used to a woman being on the bridge? Because, like, commanding officer, again.
Yeah, he's the captain. And he didn't even, like, softball it in there. He just threw it out on the bridge in front of everyone. Including the executive officer, who is
and
a woman.
And he kind of just goes, hey, except for you.
Yeah, it's fine. You're okay. You're like one of the boys. You know, you pee standing up and shit.
Yeah. How great is Spock's makeup in the beginning? I mean, in the whole episode.
I thought they just put ears on him.
Yeah. He's super yellow. Looks really jaundiced. His eyebrows are really thick and, like, really diagonal. Not just, like, that slant that we're used to. Like, super diagonal. And his ears are... His ears kind of are, like, just a little different. I think they're, like, more straight up and down, less curve.
Yeah. It's almost like he's a caricature of a Vulcan, which is kind of funny.
But again, that's one of those things, you know, you hammer out. But, like, when I first watched it, I was like, ew.
Like, his eyebrows just made him look really surprised all the time.
Yeah. Oh, when they get the message that they need to, the distress signal,
yeah,
and they go to the planet, they go to the first warp scene, which was boring as fuck.
Yeah.
our warp effect is everybody stand perfectly still, and we're going to kind of superimpose some stars over the top of that, and we'll play the theme music again. Boo earns.
It was rough. I would rather they went to ludicrous speed. So yeah, they go to that planet. I don't remember the name. It's not important to the storyline anyway. to go get some ship that crashed a long time ago.
Like 18 years or something.
Yeah. Was it 18 years?
Yeah, I think they say 18 years. Because later on they say she's the wrong age. She should be 18 years older than this.
Okay. Well, I thought it was longer because everyone that they go down and they find the survivors and they're all very old and creepy.
Yeah, I don't remember what the explanation for that was.
Well, they weren't real.
Well, yeah, but like what the ship's mission was or whatever, like maybe that would explain it.
We didn't pay very good attention. It's all right. I mean, it's a pilot. This is the pilot too. They're gonna change me out for DeForest Kelly.
Fuck, I wish. Either one of us would drop each other for DeForest Kelly in a second, even though he's dead.
Well, yeah.
The ghost of DeForest Kelly. Hey, maybe Mel can help us out, and we can hook us up with
DeForest Kelly. I don't know who the fucking Mel is. But yeah, it seemed like a space navy show up until they got to the planet, and then as soon as they got onto the planet, it seemed like that episode became a rejected Twilight Zone episode where there needed to just be twists all the time coming at you until you didn't know what was happening. Like, the people there are all, oh, we figured out, you know, how to live forever. And then the people from the Enterprise tell them, like, oh, we figured out how to go faster than light and warp space. We figured that we'll be home in, like, 2 days. Let's see where this shit show goes.
Well, I mean, originally it was supposed to be a lot like the TV show Wagon Train. This weird drama pioneer drama set in space. So I think it's supposed to be a lot like you described it. And then afterwards they're like, hey, could we fix this? And Gene Roddenberry was like, yes, finally. We can make things the way I actually want them.
Fair. I probably should have read up. I'm sure someone's going to be pissed about this. My lack of Star Trek pilot episodes. Backstory dealing there for us.
That's all right. I mean, eventually we're going to have to do the menagerie, which is what they chopped this up and put it in.
Yeah. Oh, well.
So I still love the beaming effect. That's just as good as ever.
Yeah.
Like, beaming always looks good. In the reboot movies, I don't even think they've improved beaming at all with modern technology. A glass full of glitter being stirred around, as LeVar Burton taught us all on Reading Rainbow, is still like the best way to make fucking transporters work.
Yeah, but this one was different. They turned down the overhead lights on the people, so they were dark and they were only lit from the bottom.
Shit, I didn't notice that.
I noticed that and I was like, that seems dumb. I don't like it.
Oh. Yeah, I didn't notice that.
Yeah, you didn't notice the Italian and the Vietnamese guy either.
Well, I mean, I noticed the Vietnamese guys didn't realize that they were having a secret love affair.
I mean, they had to be. Everyone else is in a uniform, and they're just in, like, bathrobes.
They're in those great maintenance jumpsuits. Those are around the rest of the rest of the series, I think. At least season one, where, like, there's just maintenance guys. I don't know if those are non-Starfleet personnel, like just maintenance crew that get hired on. Like a civilian teleporter operator? I don't know.
I guess.
I love those paper rocks that first beam down the planet.
Oh, yeah.
Real papery.
It's, you know, it's a pilot, so I'll forgive their lack of a lot of budget. They were dealing with those crash survivors for all of 3 minutes before the one girl who's like the hot
Vina.
Yeah, Vina, the hot chick. She like reveals the deception to them.
No, like, right away. It's like she could have kept them occupied with those survivors for hours, but she just right away is like, they're gone. Whoop. We're underground.
Yeah, it was the same conversation of like, hey, what happened to you guys? Oh, we're here. Well, let's take you home. And it's like, oh, we should tell them our clever ruse. Yeah, it was weird.
The phasers. They look stupid. I hate them. I love the way phasers look in all of Star Trek. Hate, except for phaser rifles. But we'll talk about that when we get there. But I did not like the phasers. There's just a tube with like some cock rings on them and a pistol grip. In fact, you know what? I'm not sure their phasers at all.
Well, it's like they took the phaser and kept it through the entire first series, but they took the pepper mill off the front because there's no reason you should be turning dials on the front of a gun to do anything ever. And then it was like, oh yeah, we'll just keep this kind of gunny, whatever. Communicator's the same, which is sweet.
Well, I noticed is I think they're a little bit smaller as we get on in the series, but they look like exactly the same.
Yeah.
I realized that in the next episode.
Why are we talking? Have we not talked about
this? No, I'm saying like they use the phasers as props later on. These phasers as props later on.
Oh, for other terrible.
No, for phasers, for guns, but just not for Starfleet guns.
They upgraded.
Okay, so Pike is in that. He's in his cage, and he looks around and he sees all the like other monsters. There's this one bird monster. But for some reason, which clearly, you know, it's a man in a suit, of course, but for some reason, the film is clearly backwards. And so its movements are like, it's, why would you show that backwards? Why wouldn't you just play it forward?
I saw that too. And the only reason I could think is they wanted to show like, oh, it's clearly an alien because it moves in weird ways that normal shit doesn't move. But if nobody could understand that it was like fluorescent purple fucking
bird.
Emu
bird monster.
Emu / albatross monster. Yeah. I like the pink gorilla also, whatever the fuck it was.
Oh yeah, that's a good one.
That's definitely something that would exist on another planet in space. Pink gorilla.
Hey, well later on they'll explain why everything looks like something on Earth, but slightly different. Forget that. Oh, the giant head makeup on the Talosians. I love it.
The upside down ball sack?
Yeah, I love that upside down, like that single testy head with the throbbing veins. Like that might be where all the rock budget went into those good looking makeup for those aliens.
Yeah, They're glitter smocks, which definitely a higher order intelligent being would wear.
Yeah, I agree.
But, I mean, they have the telepathy, and they can read minds, which is nice.
For them, I mean, that's the whole purpose for them, is to read each other's minds and get each other off with fantasies, basically.
I think I stopped paying attention.
God damn it.
Around that point. But yeah.
Okay.
I do remember that.
Then the crew is gonna.
So then the crew catches wind that something's wrong. Captain's gone.
They try and break him out. And it sounds like they call them lasers, not phasers. Like when they're, everybody point your lasers at the door, and then they get that giant laser, that giant phaser howitzer or laser. I don't know if I'm right or wrong.
Yeah, it was the big Geonosian blaster that they brought out.
Right.
What got me on that was that they set it up like, okay, here's a big turret that we're going to shoot at this. Where Pike is hidden is in a cave underneath the big door that they shot their terrible pepper shaker fucking phasers at, and the door just got hotter no matter what they did. So they brought out this piece of very ridiculous artillery that's of the size of a record player, I guess. But impressive for the 60s.
Well, maybe and bigger than a record player.
It was big, but I mean like the old like phonograph that you see in Disney cartoons.
Okay, yeah.
And I love that they set it up on the ground and aimed it and turned it on to shoot at this door to blow it open. And then they called up to the ship to give it more power. Like, the thing has controls on the fucking back of it. Why are you calling the ship to give it more power when is there a cable running up to the Enterprise? I don't think they understand how electricity works. You can't just beam electricity over nothing. You're not fucking Thor.
Good point. Good point. I didn't notice that part.
Yeah, I was just like, this is fucking just bad writing.
At first, I was like, peace mission. Why do they even have this like giant, artillery piece? What point does it serve?
It's peace through force. America's. It's an American show.
I mean, it's not, but Captain Kirk does know all the words of the Constitution, even though America hasn't existed in that form for 400 years.
We got people now that don't even know it.
Right. I just mean, we'll get to the Yangs and the Comms episode.
That'll be deep. But Kirk and whatever that girl's name.
Pike and Vina.
Yeah, non-Kirk and Vina are down there, and she is just trying to fuck him, but in like the weirdest non-direct ways possible.
Right, one of the things I know is Pike. Pike gets so mad. He's like, "Ah, yeah, you said you were real." Well, no, she didn't. She never said that she was fake. She never said, "Oh, I'm an illusion too." You just kept leading that way, and she just kind of let it. You know, didn't contradict you. But she's trying to bang him. It's weird.
I'm not even sure what he's upset about, like, the whole episode. I know he's just mad. Like, he doesn't want to be in the cage anymore.
Captivity, of course.
But he's so mad, and so mad at her, and not even asking direct questions that could help him get out or figure out where he is. He's just asking whether or not she's an illusion or not. And that's kind of irrelevant. He doesn't even know where the fuck he is.
He doesn't know where he is. And then, the Talosians show up and they threaten him. And then they do that thing where they make him imagine that he's in hell.
Yeah.
Or, I mean, a place with fire, but he's really wet because, it's not really. Anyway, and then I like that they say, that's from a fable. That's a fable we picked out of your brain. I just like that they referred to hell as a fable. Like,
well, I mean, it could have been any kind of fire-ridden place that is ingrained in human
right psyche. And, religion would probably seem like fables to an alien species.
Well, I mean, maybe he was just a really big fan of Backdraft.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's very likely.
Kirk knows the Constitution. He's a big...
Yeah, Pike is a huge Kurt Russell fan.
Scott's a huge... Shit.
So, Kurt Russell, if you're listening, we'd love to have you on when we do the Menagerie. Pike's a big fan.
He's not on. He's not listening. No one is.
He could be listening.
And... they keep trying to get him to the whatever the fuck, Talosians. Keep trying to get Pike, just have sex with this girl. And they keep punishing him for not doing it. And right. He gets more and more mad.
And
about them not letting him just go free. By the virtue that he's a Starfleet captain, which doesn't matter to them at all. And he obviously has no idea who the fuck these people are or what their species or race is in the slightest.
Yeah, they're brand new. To Starfleet.
And he's just like, how dare you do this to me? I'm so fucking important.
Yeah, she finally feeds him a little of her backstory though, and she talks about, she's like, oh, it's so horrible. And he's like, oh, I can guess what you've been through. Can you? Can you guess what it's been like to have been the sole survivor of a horrible crash and been disfigured and then held captive by aliens for 18 years?
Well, yeah, he's got two women on his bridge at once.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, terrible. The shit he has to put up with.
That poor man. The poor non
executive officer's a fucking female. And then I got other vaginas just wandering under my bridge to hand me important documents.
Going back, I like that they never make any reference whatsoever as to Spock being different than them.
Oh, no, at all. Not at all. They don't... He's like a regular person. He's not... The only hint that he's an alien is that he's, you know, jaundiced and has pointy ears.
Yeah. Maybe just not enough space oranges.
So then they start putting Vina in, like, different situations. Like, you know, they turn to the Orion dancing girl, which, you know what? I would have just dropped Trow and fucked her then. They're like, oh, do I get to go free after I bang this hot chick?
Yeah, it's
who's not really hot, but you know.
Well, I mean, hot for him.
Looks hot. Looks hot to him.
Like, yeah. I like that she's the Orion dancing girl in the middle of, like, a Baron Munchausen-esque Sultan tent.
Yeah. It's just like that. It is.
Like, he's surrounded by just very Arabian people who may or may not be the three wise men also. And they keep telling him, like, oh, just have sex with her. Yeah, you should just totally have sex with her.
Someone says, oh, that's the kind of girl that likes to be taken advantage of.
Yeah.
And I went, when I was watching that, I went, oh, shit.
Yeah, they... There's
rough her up a little bit. She's a woman. There's no such thing as rape yet.
Serious. Here's a golden serving plate. Hit her in the fucking face. Go for it. She's green, and they couldn't spring to cover her completely in green with the giant patches of skin showing.
Well, I mean, it's makeup. Ooh, that could have been like the seventh take. And they were like, fuck, we're running out of green pancake. You could just clean it up.
Well, they should have spent a little bit less money on the fucking paper mache rock budget.
I don't think they could have spent less on it.
Well, glitter. They should have got rid of glitter.
Yeah, a little less glitter on the glitter ropes.
So then he goes and he fights the weird...
Tarkin?
He fights some Viking.
A tall Viking.
On... Some with an R. Some planet with an R.
Not
real bad episode, by the way.
Yeah, they take him through that. Because they're trying to elicit a protective response from him.
Yeah, they want him to care for her, so they attack them both by a guy that looks like he came out of a fucking Dio music video.
We should recut that fight scene with Holy Diver playing behind it.
I would, but I don't think Holy Diver is 9.5 hours long like that fucking fight scene. So we just have to loop it over and over and over.
Holy Diver!
But yeah, it's a terrible fight scene. Everything is telegraphed. There's no possible way you could care for any of the characters in it because you know no one's going to get hurt.
Well, I like the fight scenes in the original series because they're pretty bad, but yes, this is worse in every way.
Yeah,
like the choreography's worse. It's just not a great, fight scene,
and it's not even over the top enough to be good. It's just bad.
Yeah. So Pike is still refusing to bang her. So then they just kidnap Mygel Barrett and Crewman York.
The woman on my bridge.
Yeah, that woman on his bridge. The redhead. And they're like, all right, now that there's three, you have a better choice. But little did they, I don't think they realize, you know, if you gave me one person who is DT fucking fuck, and shout out to Chris, I would probably go for it at some point. Like, if I was Pike, at some point I'd be like, all right, look, I'm going to bang this alien and just go for it. Riker does that all the time in the next gen. He's just like, well, I need to bang you to go free? Okay, let's get it over with. When you put three up, it's like, what? Well, I mean, I can't choose because now someone's going to have their feelings hurt and I got to work with her and her.
What I got from that was that Pike is definitely really into whatever the two operators of the transporter are doing on their off time.
Okay. I mean, I'll believe it.
He's just like, oh, I can't. I don't want to bang this girl because I'm captive and that upsets me, even though everyone's like, hey, just do it. It'll be cool. And, oh, here come my other two crew members. Like, well, it wouldn't be proper for me to do it because they're all here. Like, if just one of them was here, I would totally bang them. But since there's, like, three of them, I can't do it.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm saying. He can't slight the others by choosing one.
Yeah, like, he's got to...
They made it worse.
Yeah.
If they'd been like, here's Michael Barrett, bang her, he'd have been like, okay.
Yeah, probably.
But by bringing in the two, it's like, now I got a conundrum.
Oh, don't make me choose. Ooh. It's a good thing you don't... You know, send down my transporter crew because then I'll never be able to choose between these women. That's what I was thinking. But they kept getting back. They were like, oh, you have to pick an Eve so you can have lots of children.
Which I assume they read that from his mind, the idea of Adam and Eve.
Yeah. Pike was very religious.
Well, I mean, Orvina could have been, you know, that fable could have been in their minds. I like how they describe Michael Baird. They're like, oh, she's strong and smart. And then they're like, that woman who keeps coming onto your bridge.
The woman.
She's got youth, although they're clearly pretty similar in age. Says she's got youth and strong female urges. Does that mean heavy flow? Or does it mean that she's horny?
Probably that she's very horny all the time.
But I could see how they would mistake, these aliens would mistake, like, oh, heavy flow, she's definitely a good mate.
She has a wide...
she's got a heavy flow and a wide-set vagina.
Her vulva is above average for our very tiny understanding of human anatomy.
You're into huge clitorises, right?
Well, I like that they're... Clearly, this is the first time that humans and scrotum heads have interacted. So how do they know, like, oh, she has strong female urges? Like, how the fuck do you even know that at all?
Are they just comparing it to Vina, maybe? Like, Vina's motor kind of runs like this. But this girl's motor is clearly run like this.
I guess.
I don't know.
That chick is just a Two Live Crew music video.
Wait, Vina or the redhead?
The redhead.
Okay.
The woman, as Pike refers to her, I assume.
So then they finally get free.
Well, he takes the phaser and he shoots it at
the window or
that he had been running into constantly for some fucking reason. Oh, we forgot about how they can't read Pike's mind if he has primal urges, like getting mad.
Yeah, like they can't read violent thoughts. To me, I read it like they can't read the violent thoughts because it's too, like, it's too abrasive. Like, oh fuck, I don't want to be in there. But maybe it's, yeah, because otherwise, if you're saying that they can't read primal thoughts, how would they read the fucking? Right?
Yeah, that's pretty much just
ingrained. Which is what they're trying to go, which is they're going for.
Yeah, they're way into that, and they can't read it at all.
Which, to be fair, I'd be into it too.
Well, I like that they keep, through the episode...
Did they have, like, an Israeli stroke party to, like, the bird monsters fucking also?
I don't know.
Like, did they watch all those things mate and be like, yes?
Well, they never lift up the diamond schmock, so I don't know what's going on under there. It could be pretty rough. Just wide set. wide set penises. I don't know what the fuck that would even be. Sideways.
Yeah. So then they, the person comes in and he just, the Talosian like reaches his hand and he grabs the hand, he yanks him in, and then just threatens to smash his brains in so that he can escape.
Yeah, he says he's going to shoot him in the head.
Yeah.
And then the big mystery is revealed, the Trilosians, whatever the fuck, they're really good at deceiving. So it's all just one big illusion. Like the giant stupid fucking blender gun that's powered by the spaceship through fucking magic actually blew the whole fucking top of the mountain off. And they didn't see it for some reason, or smell it, or get hit with flying debris, or anything. They just
were... Well, there wouldn't be any flying debris. It's a phaser. It, like, melted it.
Dude, melted rock?
Or laser.
Well, rock explodes.
Rock also melts.
Yeah, you heat it up enough, and the shit where it's getting hot is going to melt, and then the shit around it, because the temperature went from fucking zero... or like 97 degrees, whatever it is outside, to 10,000 instantly, it's just going to fucking pop everywhere.
Well, Stephen Hawking's not doing the physics for it yet, so...
Well, I don't think he was doing the physics for any of the original series.
Well, eventually, yes, that's what I mean. He eventually backs up the physics and becomes like a consultant on the next gen, but...
Well, I like that their whole thing is like, oh, okay, well... We're really good at deceiving your senses. So, you know, you did shoot a hole through the protective glass. You did blow up the mountain. How did they get the two women on the transporter down into their cage if the people on the transporter didn't push any fucking buttons or operate it? So obviously they have some other powers where they can... Well, maybe project they, people through fucking space.
Maybe they made the transporter guys do it, but think they didn't do it.
Well, they didn't move their hands.
Well, I mean, but we're often seeing what the people who are deceived are seeing, so maybe that's it. But yes, they clearly have some other kind of... They also sent a subspace message, like, you know, so...
Well, I mean, that's not hard to do. There's a crashed fucking ship there. You can... The ship was actually there and somewhere...
Oh, yeah. Right.
In the fucking wreckage of Bartertown. So, yeah, you can have where you send the message.
All right. So then they get down there, or they get out, and they're on the surface, and Module Bearer goes straight to, like, you gonna let us go? Nope. All right, I'm gonna kill us all. Whoop! Sets the phaser to overload. The explosion will apparently kill everybody in the radius. And I just thought... How badass. That's your first move? Kill us all. Won't let us go? Kill us all.
I mean, I guess it's bad. Like, it's badass from, like, a Tarantino point of view, but from, like, a sane person point of view, it's like, how the fuck does Starfleet keep officers if they get captured? And, like, within the first, like, 10 seconds, like, well, let's fucking kill everybody. How about that?
Suicide mission.
Yeah. Four Starfleet officers and an innocent civilian for one testicle-headed alien that we've never met before.
Well, imagine they...
And we can't learn anything from his fucking culture because we're all just going to die.
Imagine they continued on that mission, on that premise, and like the next episode was just like, every mission is a suicide mission.
I guess. Fuck.
Well, and then the aliens are like, well, okay, we'll let you go. We didn't realize humans had this unique hatred of captivity. How many species have they, like, observed that love captivity?
I don't know.
I mean, in Star Trek, they explore that...
1,000 different species of space cat?
Yeah. Sentients are all, like, all the sentient beings that they eventually explore in the universe all hate captivity. That's pretty universal. Well... Even animals don't love captivity. Were those animals, like, they didn't test the boundaries of the caves? They didn't try and get out? They were just like, oh, a meal and something for me to fuck. We're good.
Well, yeah, I mean, if you're a pink gorilla, then, yeah, you're very docile.
and backwards bird monsters also are
giant,
infamously
reverse physics nightmare birds. they just love it because I mean, if they're the bird on their species, they're definitely they may be a, but they're not the apex predator. There's something that eats them, and if they're walking backwards and weird shit like they are, whatever eats them has got to be terrifying. It's like a walking fucking volcano or some shit.
Which later on is a thing that we will meet in Star Trek.
I forgot about that.
The silicon-based life forms. The rock life forms.
Wait, Dwayne Johnson?
Well, Dwayne Johnson is in Star Trek. He's in an episode of Voyager.
Oh, we're not talking about that.
Yeah, we're going to get to it.
God, it's the worst.
So here's the thing. Then Vina, they reveal Vina's like old and scarred.
She's not even old.
Well, I mean, she's a little bit. She's older than they thought she was. Well, but like, she's just mostly scarred up.
She didn't want to go with them. They were like, oh, well, we'll take you with us. It's like, Pike will be like, oh, let's go, and we'll take you back to Earth, and you can do all this shit. And she's like, oh, I don't want to go. And they're like, why not? And he's like, well, the ball sack was like, oh, let me show you her true form. And she's just fucking all Quasimodo. She got a hump?
Yeah, she starts to like be like, we're a hunch over, kind of.
She got a hump? She looks rough.
Here's my thing.
She looks like Angela Lansbury. Like Murder, She Wrote, Angela Lansbury. That's what she looks like, but with a hump.
Yeah. But my thoughts are, don't we have plastic surgery? I mean, it's 1966. We already have plastic surgery. Obviously not as good as we do now. And they're, like, it's the future. They don't have plastic surgery enough to fix up a fucked up face yet. I mean, we could fix that face up pretty good now.
No, because there's the pedophile doctor in his fucking, like, smoking fucking robe that walks around with a leather bag for some fucking reason in the fucking future.
Well, he's still got to carry his tools. Hypo sprays don't just fit in your pocket that well.
There's modern doctors don't carry a fucking leather bag around. It's just impractical and stupid.
Sweet ones do.
Death doctors.
Nice.
But yeah, she was like, I can't go because of this. And then yet another fucking shamalama ding dong twist. The fucking ball sack people are like, oh no, we needed you to reproduce with this girl so you could have offspring. Otherwise our society will die because apparently we can't do a fucking thing for ourselves. Which, I get the point that they're like, oh, humans could have helped, but they didn't because our hatred of captivity was so great that we let an entire race of people die to keep freedom or some shit. I don't fucking know. It's a really convoluted message because even if you feel bad for the people that are going to die, you still have to take into account the fact that they wanted to breed a race of people to keep them alive because they can't do a fucking thing for themselves. Which begs the question, how did they build that fucking underground bond lair in the first place?
I think it was built by their ancestors. So they said, we've forgotten how to use a lot of this stuff built by our ancestors.
They can't figure it out? You can't look at it and be like, oh, there's fucking glass. Well, how do we make that? Someone get on that.
I don't know. I don't have the answer.
And then they search.
There's always a culture that doesn't know how to use that has somehow lost the ability to do the things that their ancestors have done. Like, if we had to go back to telephone operators, we'd be proper fucked now, right? I mean, not a lot of people know how to be a telephone operator, old-timey switchboards and whatnot.
It would take an hour's training.
Well, I mean, let's assume we're a few hundred years out, though.
Okay, well, that's kind of irrelevant since they went through and downloaded the entirety of the Enterprise's computer records
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
On fucking everything. I'm pretty sure one of those was some kind of, was like a half-hour Bob Vila special on how to fucking build a house.
Okay, that's a good point.
They had all the records from a Starfleet.
Also, they had, even if they had Pike, and Pike had banged Vina, and Vina had offspring, that bloodline is too close to survive long. They won't, make it.
Well, yeah, they didn't understand.
That buys them a few years. They would have to, the entire crew would have to come down and, go to town on each other. But I'm guessing there's not that many women on the ship.
Well, not even that. They're just automatically assuming that they will be able to have kids.
Yeah, Vina's insides could be all fucked up. She could be barren.
Well, she's all messed up because they didn't know how to put her back together because they've never encountered a human being before.
Yeah, her uterus could be backwards or...
They just threw it out. They were like, what the fuck is this sack inside of her? It's gross. Throw it the fuck out. Or we'll use it as some kind of head cozy for our gross fucking ball sacks. This story just doesn't make sense. At all.
I think I had this thought when they're leaving. If I'd have realized, Vina's going to stay by herself all that time. Well, I'll throw a pity bone just to help her get through the lonely nights. So if I were Pike, I'd have just thrown her one to go.
Well, she was a kid when they crashed.
No, she wasn't a kid.
How old? I don't remember how old she was.
She's about the age they make her appear.
So 20.
She's probably 20, and now she's like...
She looks like she's 40.
Yeah.
That's what she looked like.
So she's actually older than they think, but it's not that old.
Yeah, but the idea, she's probably in her mid-40s, which at that point, it's like, you're going to have trouble having kids anyway. But these aliens don't know that. They just think if they get two... of a species that's one male and one female, then oh yeah, we can totally have a race of slaves.
At the end of the episode, they're on the ship. They're back on the ship. Crewman, don't be on my bridge. Is like, well,
the woman.
Yeah, the woman is like, well, Pike, who would have been Eve? Like, what an improper thing to ask your commanding officer.
No.
Who would you have banged between the two of us? I haven't asked any of my military buddies, but I'm pretty sure if I went and asked one of them to ask their commanding officer, it would be a huge problem for them.
Well, it's like, oh, I'm so glad we avoided being captive forever by the space aliens, but the real question at hand, would you rather bang me or the other one? I'm glad we've progressed in the future to not be 14-year-old girls. Who's prettier, Pike?
And ultimately...
From the beginning of the episode, I figured he just would have went with, military protocol. Backhanded her and then had her fucking...
Just keel-hauled?
Just okay, well, you're in the brig till we get back to fucking port, and then we're going to court-martial you for your gross insubordination on the deck... On the command deck of a military ship.
On the command deck.
Front of the entire complement of officers.
Yeah. We're not in the dining hall. This isn't the off time.
Yeah, this is my private quarters.
We're both on duty, and you are just... You want to fuck?
We're not talking to the counselor or, the doctor to figure out if there's anything wrong with us. I don't know, some kind of space fucking germ from the species that we just ran into that we have no knowledge of whatsoever.
Well, I'm assuming they took care of that. I mean, later on they add you decontaminate in transport.
Yeah.
That's a thing they add later. But then stuff still gets through. That's the many episodes, plots in the future.
It's really, really small.
And I think the ultimate lesson of this whole episode is that the answer is violence. That's how he solved his problems. He's trying to be diplomatic, didn't work. I mean, diplomatic in the form of complaining and demanding to be let free, but the answer was blow shit up, threaten people with physical violence, threaten to blow yourself up and everybody. So I think just the answer is violence.
And this goes for almost every single Star Trek episode ever. It's like an idiot who knows nothing about the military or took 5 fucking seconds to talk to anyone who's ever been in command of any sort of unit or anything. The captain probably isn't going to put himself in immediate danger every fucking chance he gets.
Well, I mean,
he shouldn't have gone down.
Later on, they make that like a uniquely Kirk thing, that Kirk goes on fucking away missions all the time, and it's like, why are you doing that? Picard doesn't go on away missions almost ever.
A couple times.
I mean, he does, but it's always like in rare, very specific interest type things.
Yeah, but...
But Kirk is down every time.
Well, I mean, Pike started that mentality of like, well, let's just fucking go. Oh, there's something here. There's a distress signal. Clearly, I, as the highest ranking officer on the ship who has command of the ship and all sorts of codes and...
I who am responsible for all of this.
Yeah, I have every... I'm the most important person on this fucking ship, period. I will go down to this planet... Just because.
Yeah. Because I feel I'm the captain. I feel like it.
Oh, yeah. And when I'm gone, don't let the woman on the bridge. I'll know she was here, and I'll
be pissed. Though a woman is in command in my absence, Do not let another woman on the bridge.
Well, no. A woman who's in command in my absence, you come with me, because if the captain dies, definitely the XO should be right fucking next to him on this away mission and not... You know, in charge of $1 trillion fucking spaceship.
There's no dollars. Maybe, I think we know it's gold press latinum.
Well, yeah, but I mean, maybe it was other writers or just Gene Roddenberry himself who was just really into the idea of like Patton. Like, oh yeah, Patton led the charge with his tanks. And it's like, well, Patton was a fucking maniac. Who had a silver helmet that he wore so people could shoot at him and had loudspeakers on his fucking tanks because he was fucking insane.
Well, yeah, I think later on that's what they're saying is that Kirk is the insane person. I mean, it's been a while since I watched Enterprise, but I think even Archer doesn't go down that often.
Yeah, it's, I guess the 60s Enterprise.
Just and plus, all the time, it'll be like Kirk, Spock. Sometimes they'll take... Like the first four people in line for the captain for command of the ship with them, and they'll be like, "All right, fucking Ensign Nurse Chapel, you're in charge now because we've taken everybody else."
Yeah, it's the weirdest thing that everyone seems to be okay with in the Star Trek universe is that. But if you apply it to anything else, it seems so fucking ridiculous. Like. Okay, so aliens came down. Well, I'm pretty sure the president, the vice president, the secretary of state, the speaker of the house, the secretary of defense...
Every member of the cabinet.
All the cabinet, and the Supreme Court justices. Let's go House Majority and House Minority leaders, too. We'll go meet these aliens. What about security? That's cool. We brought our own guns.
We brought one guy.
Yeah, we brought... No, you didn't bring one guy. Fuck it.
Well, I mean, they always bring a guy.
Yeah, they bring a red shirt to just get plastered all right. Over paper mache.
The guy who dies to prove that the situation is serious.
Yeah, but it's the most ridiculous concept of like, oh yeah, every person who's in charge and can make executive decisions on how the ship functions and whether or not people die, you go down to this unknown region with zero intel whatsoever and just... Go for it. Fuck it.
We will have plenty of opportunities to rail about that because it happens all the time.
I know it does, which mind-boggling. Like, okay, so Kirk and Spock and Bones die, and let's say Scotty dies also, and now it's like, oh, well, Sulu, I hope you have all the docking commands for every single fucking space station in Federation space.
That's right. And, I think Sulu is next in that
line. And the codes to get past the Mars defense so the Enterprise doesn't just get blown the fuck up because you don't have the proper sequence of codes to give to higher command. oh, it doesn't matter anyways because the Admiral went down to the Green Planet to go fucking kill a Viking in a Dio music video. Right.
Okay, I mean, the point is,
it's terrible.
It's the 60s, and this is a 60s TV show. That's one of the, that's like, it's just different. Fact-checking is like a thing of the future.
I guess.
There's lots of mistakes in Next Gen 2, of course, but...
Maybe I wasn't paying enough attention in history class. Maybe LBJ did punch out Ho Chi Minh in some sort of bar brawl in Taiwan.
I have a bachelor's degree in history that says he did.
Well, there you go. I know you like to pee on shit.
All right, so the cage. Ultimately, actually, I kind of liked it. I mean, it was a little long. Taking all of Star Trek as a whole, it's a good like little prequel to the original series. If you just take it as part of the universe, as like, oh, there was a ship before Kirk took over and became the guy with the hugest nutsack in all of history. You know, I liked it, but it's definitely not an episode that I would like to watch and watch and watch. I much prefer the next episode, which we will
do next.
Do next.
Spoiler.
Yeah, we're doing it in order.
Chronologically.
Next episode is The Man Trap. So,
is that a bar?
Subscribe or come back to download that episode too. It is going to be, yeah, I don't know, we're going to talk about Star Trek some more. What do you fucking want? All right, guys. Thanks for listening. This is Andrew.
This is Seth.
Thanks for listening to the podcast On the Edge of Forever.
Oh, don't forget to check out that Vietnamese guy also.
Yeah, go back and check that Vietnamese guy out.